Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS. Well, video games have become a $25 billion a year industry, and while we've heard a lot about the negative impact of gaming, researchers now finding that, yes, there are also some positive effects of logging all those hours and playing video games. Robert Lee Holtz is the science columnist for the Wall Street Journal. He writes about it, and he joins me now to tell me about his piece, which you can find at WSJ.com. Lee, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
It's always a pleasure.
So I guess this new information will now be used by teenagers across the country to convince their parents that it's a good thing that they're spending hours a day gaming. What exactly are scientists finding when it comes to these positive effects?
Well, you know, what they're finding, for better or worse, computer games change your brain, and a variety of studies, none of which were paid for by the gaming industry, I should emphasize, are showing evidence that commercial video and computer games, you know, they can improve skills related to perception, to dexterity, multitasking, decision making. They can even, correct vision in people who were born with cataracts, things that you normally would have to have surgery and lenses to fix. And generally, this is the part that I found interesting, the most controversial games, I mean, the ones that parents tend to worry about most, violent action games, first-person shooters, things like that, which appear to promote aggression, also appear to have the strongest beneficial effect on the brain and on mental abilities.
I guess it's stunning that the gaming industry has not itself promoted these effects. It seems like something that they would take advantage of.
You would think that, but I can tell you that none of the researchers that I spoke to, and these were all at various university laboratories in the United States and Canada and Europe, a big one at Michigan State University, for instance, all of them are either federally funded or working with private foundation money that has no ties to the gaming business that I could detect. And indeed, they themselves get no cooperation from the gaming companies, and I can tell you that they certainly didn't return any of my phone calls. So I don't think this is a topic they're especially interested in having spread around, because for better or for worse, the idea that the intensive cycles of reward, conditioning, and learning that, you know, are the essence of any good video game, the idea that these have a profound effect on your neural synapses is bound to make them uncomfortable. Now, I want to say something just as a slight corrective. You know, we tend to, when we talk about computer games and video games, talk about them as if this is some pastime that surly teenagers are engaging in down in the basement. But you should know that the average gamer, at least in the United States, is 34 years old and has been playing these games for 12 years.
I see. You can only wonder then if it's a matter of putting in the years of time to see these changes. Are they finding that the effects, these effects, I guess you could say they're positive ones, are there for kids that have been playing for maybe just a few years?
Well, now, these are mostly studies of adults. They're you know, conducted in laboratory conditions, and typically they involve adult volunteers. Now, there are two very interesting ones I should highlight for you. At Michigan State University, the Children and Technology Project, and a psychologist there named Linda Jackson, just completed a very ambitious three-year project where they actually looked at middle school children in 20 Michigan middle schools, almost 500 kids, about 12 years old, and related their performance on this creativity exam to their gaming habits. And what they found was that playing almost any computer game, didn't matter what the genre was, appeared by their measure to have a dramatic effect on increasing a child's creativity.
You're describing that it's improving a person's brain in every conceivable way. I mean, we've heard about the improvement in eye-hand coordination. That makes sense. But if you're talking about improved creativity, that's a bit shocking.
Well, you know, no one at this stage really knows the why of this. We can speculate. You enter into the world of a computer game, you're entering into a more imaginative landscape. You're, you know, required to exercise your skills to mentally project yourself into different fantastical situations. And maybe this just results in a more freely unreined imagination. I mean, I honestly don't know, and there's no research that directly addresses that problem. This is very preliminary, and it's curious, actually, that it is so preliminary, because if you think about it, commercial video games and computer games have been a national pastime since the early 1970s.
I'm talking to Lee Hotz. He's the science columnist for the Wall Street Journal. You can find his article on this very interesting topic at WSJ.com. In terms of using all these improved capacities, is there any evidence that gamers are actually able to use these developments in their life outside of playing video games?
That's a great question, and I think that's probably at the heart of most of the research projects that are going on now. What you're asking about is what cognitive scientists call a transfer effect. I mean, you know, they would be the first ones to say, well, it's great that these research projects show that gamers have these enhanced perceptual abilities or reflexes or multitasking skills, but does this simply just make them better players of the game? Is there any fallout into the real world? And now, some of the scientists that I spoke to who've been studying people who in particular play these violent action games say that the transfer effect is huge, that the skills that are sharpened during the course of playing a game carry over into other activities. It's very controversial, and there's a lot of back and forth.
You note in your article that practice game players are able to focus on more things at one time without getting confused than those that don't play games. Although it seems that the real issue for our society now is concentrating on one thing at a time and being able to focus. Is it clear that gaming doesn't necessarily help with that very important thing?
Well, depending, you know, which one of these research groups you talk to, these studies, of course, are not coordinated with each other. I mean, they're affairs at different independent labs who are all pursuing their own research agendas. Researchers at the University of Rochester, University of Minnesota, and others have done a number of studies, as you allude, that show that gamers can concentrate, or rather can focus on more things at the same time than non-gamers can. They can kind of pay attention to six different things going on at the same time, whereas a more, I hesitate to say normal, mm-hmm. a less practiced gamer can only focus usually on about four things at once without getting confused. At the same time, other groups have shown that, in their studies, that gamers are better able to ignore distracting information and that, in fact, may be better able to concentrate.
Well, what about the fact that gamers spend so many hours locked into these games? It almost looks like an addictive cycle in a sense that many of them may spend almost all their free time playing games. Is there any understanding of why the brain is so stimulated by this one activity?
I think at this stage there's really not much research certainty on just what it is that makes these games so engaging and so compelling. Now, certainly the designers themselves, I mean, that's their life's work, of course, to design a game with a narrative and graphics and a storyline and puzzles and actions that will hook you. But now what exactly is going on in the basement of your brain to make that happen in terms of neurotransmitters and synaptic behavior? Nobody really knows. In fact, a number of researchers that I spoke to were worried that, well, maybe the thing that made these such effective learning devices was, in fact, the violence in the games. Now, they don't know that. They just are concerned that that may be the hook.
Have you been inspired now to go out and purchase an Xbox 360 and start gaming yourself?
No, I'm not a gamer, but I live in a house full of them.
I see. Have you seen personal evidence of this phenomenon?
I have certainly seen personal evidence of the inability to manage your time effectively when tempted by the wonderfully fantastical online world of the game.
Lee Hotz, the science columnist for The Wall Street Journal, find his article on the story at WSJ.com. Lee, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Always a pleasure.
And we're coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen, and you're listening to more compelling talk radio, 1320 WILS.